Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. You're listening today live, or if you're listening on a podcast, you're listening on a replay. We really appreciate you tuning in. Thanks for making us a part of your day. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP, Vice President of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, and with you today, Chuck Price is on a little vacation with his lovely wife this weekend, and Kevin is taking the day off, but I am lucky enough to be joined by Michael Standard of the Fairway Mortgage Company. Michael.
Good morning.
How's it going? And we have a guest. Would you like to introduce our guest speaker today,
it's
our guest
Isaac
expert?
Kiefer with Kiefer Properties.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Hi there, Isaac. Thanks for being here today.
Of course.
This is Isaac's first time on live radio, right?
Yep,
so you ready for it?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, it's good. I mean, you sound great. So that's step number one, right?
Good,
you know, we got you all set up with the mic. So, Isaac, normally, you know, we start the show by talking a little bit about the market and the investments that have happened out there, the different turns and twists that have gone on in the overall stock market. And I got to tell you guys, this market is crazy right now.
Yeah.
Continues to go up. The Dow was up almost 1% yesterday is what it closed up on Friday. Crossed 27,000. A day or two ago for an all-time high yet again. So far this year, the Dow's up 18.51%. So that's year-to-date a lot of money, right?
Wow.
Now, if we annualize that, conceivably, we're only, you know, a little over 6 months in, halfway through the year. Conceivably, it could be up 36, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. Kevin usually is on here and asks Chuck and I if we're guaranteeing 36%, but we're not. But that's, you know, conceivably it could keep going up. The S&P's up over 21% and the NASDAQ is up over 25% so far this year.
Wow.
And what that tells me is, as part of your investment plan, as part of your retirement plan, retirement's a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's you got one shot at it, so you got to get it right. Right?
Correct.
And so, and the only way that you can really do that, whether you're planning for retirement right now, if you're young in your 30s like me, and so I've got 30 years till retirement, or if you're approaching retirement, if you're 5 or 6 years away from retirement, or if you're in retirement, you have to have some exposure to the stock market. There's just no way to have a sustainable retirement plan, to have a sustainable investment plan, without at least some exposure to the stock market. And the real issue that's going to be happening, and I can see happening as we continue moving forward, you know, the market continues to go up and up, is that people are going to start getting in now when they were afraid to get in. People have been sitting in cash, and now's when they're going to start buying in.
A little late,
but possibly. And I got to tell you, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme,
mm-hmm.
right? And so every time that, you know, you have market highs, we have these big melt-ups in the market, we are going to have a correction, and it's normal. We touched on 20% down in December of last year, 2018, from the peak of the market till the bottom. We touched just over 20%. And that's what it takes to have it be called a bear market. But that bear market lasted not even a whole day, basically. And then mm-hmm. had a week or two, and then it bounced back straight back up. I don't know where the market is exactly going to go this year. A lot of analysts and a lot of economists that I follow historically, you look at the way that the first half of the year was so strong that we still do have more up, more room to run at the end of the year. But to me, that just means there's more room to fall after that, because there's no way that I see this particular longest running bull market, depending on if you consider that, you know, that 20% down to end the bull market or not, but that there isn't going to be some sort of correction, which is healthy because we can flush out a lot of that overvaluation in the stock. I imagine it goes similar to the real estate market as well, but we're looking at all-time highs in the market, all-time highs in stocks. But then every time I say that, and every time, you know, Chuck is on here, I don't want to call him a perma bear, but you know, he does look a lot, and he sees, you know, he's had a lot of experience, and he sees the writing on the wall that, hey, these valuations are so high, we have to have some sort of pullback. And we've been talking about it for, you know, 8, 10, 11 months, and it just has kept going up and up. But the key is to have a portfolio that has some exposure to the market. The other thing that I've been talking to clients about over the last few months is, because as this market is going crazy and they're saying, hey, you know, I'm up and I'm happy because my portfolios are up, but it's not up as much as the market, because we do have a diversified portfolio.
Yeah.
So when you have a diversified portfolio that's not just the S&P 500, you're not going to track exactly what the S&P 500 does. And if you do have exposure internationally, which you should, because this is a global market and everything is intertwined internationally, particularly the Asian markets and particularly Europe has really trailed behind the United States. And they just have really trailed behind, you know, investing wise. And so if you have 20%, 15% exposure internationally, that's going to really drag down your portfolio so far this year, where the U.S. market has been straight up.
Right. So diversification is a question I have for you about, excuse me. So when you're, what's a perfect client's portfolio who's 55 years of age? Besides, I think my opinion is they should ignore the media.
Sure.
And hold what they hold.
Yep.
Because they bought it for a reason. But what would be a perfect client scenario today?
That's a good question. I get that question a lot, where they say, what should I be invested in? And it really depends on that particular client's risk tolerance and what their goals are and what, you know, how long of a time frame. So if they're in their 50s, but if retirement is for them is 59, then it's going to look differently necessarily than if retirement's not till 70.
So should they be moving towards bonds? What's your thought there?
That's a good question. So bonds are also at all-time highs, you know, along with stocks at the same time. So bonds have traditionally been less of a ballast. They've been more of a ballast, to your boat over time historically. But right now, it's real hard to find value in bonds. And with the 10-year yield down under 2%, I think it dropped under, might be right at 2% on a 10-year treasury. That means that I'm loaning the government money for 10 years and I'm getting less than 2% return. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That seems crazy. So ideally, you're going to have some stock market exposure, some bond exposure. You need those things. And then I like to have, you want to be able to have some non-correlated assets. So things that aren't going to move with the market. So ideally, they're going to have a little bit of what are called alternatives, right? So they're going to have some real estate exposure, maybe. They're going to have some commodity exposure, maybe. They're going to have some cash,
right?
So we want to have some cash available for opportunities. But the key is, like you said, is to not listen to the media. That's the big part, is to not worry about what people are saying or particularly what they say on television, because I've talked about this before, but the phrase that I use a lot of is, if it bleeds, it leads, right? So whether you watch CNBC or whether you watch Fox Business or whether you watch Bloomberg, wherever you get your market update data, I would encourage you to take everything they talk about with a grain of salt, because you have these analysts on there who say, oh, this is exactly what's going to happen. And you have chartists on there. I talked about this a little bit last week on the show, but they say, here's what this chart shows, and here's the 50-day moving average of this, and here's the 200-day moving average, and there's a death cross, and, you know, and then you really, what you hear them say is, this means that the market will either go up, go down, or stay the same. So really, they don't know. So like what you said, the words that you said that really apply, I think, to no matter what stage of life you're in, if you're 55 and investing, if you're 65, you're 70, is have a plan, have a strategy that you're utilizing and stick to it.
Right.
Right. Right. So that, you know, and in our practice, the way that we look at that is we build out a financial plan for you. We can look at, hey, this is where we're going. And then we build the strategy behind it. I did this before, and I'll ask you, Isaac. So when you're doing a puzzle, what's the first thing you do?
Find the corner pieces.
So that's a good strategy, but really what the first thing you do is you look at the box because you got to know what the picture looks like, right?
Right.
It's
right.
a trick question. Everybody answers corner pieces or they look at matching colors, but you don't know what corners are or where the corners go unless you're looking at the box. So the big key for us is with clients is to make sure that they know what does the box look like, what's the picture that we're building, and then together we can develop a strategy to figure out what the best corner pieces or the best colors are. And if that strategy for them involves real estate, if that strategy involves commodities, if that strategy involves bonds, then we want to make sure that we're allocating to that, we're rebalancing, and we're keeping an eye on it, but we're not trying to move in and out of the market. The statistic that just really blows my mind is if you're looking at the Dow is up, the Dow, the big slow growing 30 stocks in the Dow are up 18.5% this year. And, you know, over time, this S&P's averaged, 7.5-8% per year, but your average investor is only getting 3%. And the reason is because they're trying to go in and out. They're listening to the talking heads on the TV, on the radio, listening to us. No, they're listening to the talking heads on the TV and they say, oh, I'm going to try and time the market. So you want to be, like Michael said, you want to be buying your strategy. You want to be figuring out what that strategy is and you want to stick with it. So one of the things that we do talk about is a diversifier, something that's non-correlated. And the reason that, we've asked Isaac to come in today, the reason that, we talk with Michael is about how do we invest in real estate?
Yeah.
Folks can talk about, we've talked about it on the radio before. I've talked about REITs. I've talked about non-traded pooled property things. Those are options out there. But a lot of questions come up for me about investment property. Right, about investing in rental property, investing in single family homes and commercial property, those sort of things, which we get those questions a lot. And, I want to tell you folks listening that today we're going to talk about how to do that. What's the best routes to do that? What are the kind of pitfalls of that? And hopefully Isaac and Michael can share some of their experiences with their clients and how they've helped them get those investment properties. And you don't have to think about investment property as buying a commercial building downtown. We record here downtown. You can see all these commercial properties, but an investment property can be something that you're doing as part of your retirement plan. If you're retired, you're looking to downsize, you're in your senior years, and maybe you want to have a duplex that you can rent out one side of, so that way you can get some rental income. Or maybe you want to just have those single family homes, your current home, and you're going to downsize and move to the Pearl down here in Portland, so that way you can have that lifestyle that you always talked about. But you have this house that you built a life in, and now you can give another family a chance to do that and make some money along the way. So there's lots of different ways to do that. And if you stay with us today, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and start talking about how do we get started investing in real estate? How do we get started finding those investment properties and the best way to do that? But if you want to have another question answered, please pick up the phone and give us a call. Now's the time to answer those questions that have been keeping you up at night. 503-417-9595. 9595. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Management.
We do Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
And welcome back to Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thanks for tuning in. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595. If you have a question that's been eating at you, something that you haven't been able to answer, You can also visit us at investingsimplifiedradio.com and send a question in that way. We're happy to either address it there or address it here on the show. So I've been talking with Isaac and Michael here in the break about different options and different ways to get it started in investing in real estate. And, you know, Isaac, what's one of the most exciting things for you right now to help clients with when they're getting started, you know, investing in investment properties?
Thank you for asking. So I think for a lot of people, it's a daunting task to purchase an investment property, especially people in the retirement phase. They think of a property as an emotional thing that they've lived in for so long. And that's usually a big obstacle they have to get over and start seeing it as an investment instead of a personal asset. One of the big things we see is a lot of people are looking for bigger yards in the Vancouver, Portland area. In turn, when you're buying investment property, sometimes you don't want the maintenance and the upkeep of the bigger yard. So sometimes you'll lean towards something with a little bit more or easier maintenance. So
sure.
One of the most fun things is just being able to sit down and educate people on the process. And you mentioned it earlier with risk aversion. We want to make sure that everyone knows where they're at with that. You know, somebody who's 25 and buying a property can take a lot more risk than somebody who's 65 and is aiming for a good cash flow. And so really, it's just helping them have a customized plan to which property is going to fit their needs, because there's not a one size fits all with real estate.
Sure, that makes sense to me. And so when I never even thought of that as a landlord, though, that makes a lot of sense. The lower the maintenance.
Yep.
But does that hurt? Have you found that hurts in terms of renting it? Are renters looking for a lot of space as well, in your experience? Do you know? Or
some do, some don't. With affordability being a big problem in our area, a lot of renters are actually willing to settle for, you know, they still want a yard, but a lot of them are willing to settle for a smaller yard because, you know, it's going to cost them potentially, you know, a little bit more for a bigger yard, or,
sure,
you know, they're just not able to find it. So a lot of people and a lot of investors are actually buying new construction properties on these, you know, 6,000 square feet lots, and they're renting them. And we,
sure,
see that all the time.
Okay.
And the rents are pretty high too, which has been amazing that people can actually afford that here.
Right.
If you look at what they're spending in rents, $1,500 to $2,000 a month, that would equate to a $350,000 home.
Yep.
So we're talking hopefully to some of the younger generation on the radio today too. Think about that, guys. Wouldn't it, instead of continuing to pay the landlord, start banking some of that and get ready to purchase? Because there are some purchase plans out there that you can use for your first time home with down payment assistance and other options where people will actually lend you money.
Yeah. And that's really important as well on talking the investment side, is a lot of people have the common misconception that you have to have 25% down to go in on an investment property. You know, there's partnerships, there's all types of different aspects, creative financing that you can jump into. Me and Michael have been talking about this a lot recently as I purchased a property this week, and just all the different options you have for financing. It's not always as cookie cutter as they make it out to seem, you know, on the news stations.
Right. That is a big barrier, I would say, to where people,
yeah,
especially younger people, are saying, you know, I can't afford the 25% down. If we're looking at, you know, buying a bigger property, you know, and especially an investment property, that's a common misconception. Like that just,
yep,
that I'm a little, I was like, wait, I don't, because I always thought that you had to have, that was the barrier for a lot of, especially younger people, is that cash to be able to,
yeah,
to buy the investment property. Or it could be a barrier for older folks too, because most of their money has gone into their primary residence, right? So they've been,
yep,
saving up. But that, you, Michael, you mentioned the buying versus, you know, owning the home versus renting, but building some equity, building some value in the home. And there's a lot of reasons that renting can make sense, but to me, I don't like building someone else's wealth. It's the same thing as, you know, ideally, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have to borrow money to buy the house, but I don't have $600,000 in cash just sitting behind me. I don't know about you guys, but
right.
So, but when I'm renting, I'm basically, so if I'm renting Isaac's house, then he's building equity. He's building wealth. He's,
yeah,
maybe just cash flowing, and I'm just throwing money at the wall. You know, now you do not have to have the responsibility of if the furnace breaks or if, you know, something goes wrong. But
yeah,
it seems to me that it would make a lot more sense for people to purchase the house rather than, you know, let's build some equity in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really important. Also, I know Michael can attest to this with how loans are structured nowadays. The longer you hold on to the real estate, the more equity buy down there is and the more money you're going to make. I was having drinks with a client last night and the conversation was, Isaac, we didn't buy investment properties and they're in their late 50s now. But we just bought a car that was more expensive than the first house we ever bought, was what they shared with me. And I was like, wow, imagine if you would have bought, a property every 3 years back then. Look where you would have been at this point, right? Yeah. And so real estate is a long-term play for a lot of people, and that's where the big returns tend to come from.
So yeah, when you're talking with clients and advising them on which properties to purchase, how to identify those, if someone's just getting started in this investment property world, they're thinking, hey, I want to buy a house, I want to rent it out. Do you look at it, the way that I've generally looked at that is, hey, we're looking for cash flow. If I'm going out and if I have to take it, if I have to call, give Michael a call and he helps me purchase the house, primarily for the first at least 5 or 10 years, I'm just building equity by paying the mortgage, right? So if I've got the mortgage and interest and principal and interest and the property taxes and maintenance costs, and if I can cover that with a renter, then great, right? So then I'm getting building up equity, but ideally, folks are looking to cash flow positive, right? So when you're working with clients, how do they, can you maybe share some experiences with, clients where they've been able to cash flow quicker? We talk about it's a long-term play for the growth in equity in the asset, but.
So yeah, we talk about this all the time. This is huge for me. So with the market being high prices and affordability being a rough factor in the market right now, cash flow is king, right? So everybody purchasing a property, we really, really emphasize the importance of going for cash flow because if you're aiming for appreciation, we know the market cycles and we know we've been up for a long time. So if you're aiming for appreciation in a market like this, it's a high risk, high reward situation. So versus aiming for cash flow, if you look at the numbers, after the last two market crashes, in a lot of areas, rents actually went up. And so you increased cash flow because of the demand for rentals increased. Right. So we always go for cash flow, understanding that even if worst case scenario costs you an extra $100 to manage this property, you're still in the green because you never want to see a red every month.
Right. Well, let's talk about that too. There's a risk factor that some people need to consider when they're purchasing their first investment property, which is one, are you handy? Do you want to make those midnight calls where their toilets overflowed onto the floor or the water main broke?
I'm not handy.
Right. So then do you pay a property management company? They're 5 to 15%. It varies.
Sure. Yeah.
So you have to factor that into the entire purchase process. And again, know yourself, your personality, what fits for you. And then come to Isaac and myself and say, here, we've got this much money. We want to buy an investment property. And we know we're not going to be hands-on. We want somebody else to manage it. So what would a payment look like? What could we afford? And then we can run the numbers and say, oh, you could buy a $450,000 home. And then you decide, do you want a multifamily duplex or do you want something else? Do you want a single family with a yard?
Sure. That makes sense to me. And we have a caller on the line, guys. I'm going to take a step out here. Paul has a Medicare question. Hello, Paul.
Yes. Good morning, Bo. I was listening to the show last week, and you got at the end of the show, kind of into the Medicare thing, and you were just bringing my chime. That's exactly where I'm at. I've signed up for Part A and Part B. I got my first bill. I want to go to an Advantage plan through my company. I'm working. Mm-hmm. My company has really bad insurance. I say, oh, I'm going to get in trouble if they hear this. Anyway, I was going to go with an Advantage. You said you had a preferred provider. Type of person, insurance agent. I've been kind of trying to look at plans myself, and it's very difficult, as you said. So I wanted to get a name of a preferred provider. So I called the office on Monday, and they weren't sure.
Oh no, I'm sorry about that. That's difficult. So the gal that she's actually my insurance agent for my business, but who it's going to be hilarious. She's going to be like, you talked about me on the radio, but her name is Rebecca Levinci, and she's in Vancouver, and her phone number is 360-604.
Okay, just a second. I got to get over here because, believe it or not, I thought, I could just blast in the call. So this is great for everybody. He's at Fred Meyer getting gas. So does she, deal with Medicare stuff?
She does. Or? That's her primary focus is Medicare plans. The biggest, you heard me talk about it last week, Paul, but The biggest thing about in getting into a Medicare Advantage plan is there are so many different options. There are so many different ways to go that it's overwhelming. And it just, it's government work, right? So they make it as difficult as possible.
So you find it. Listening, that's exactly what happened. My company has gone through many, many changes. We were with several insurance companies, and they had to keep changing. The last one was actually going to push me out of all my doctors. As one of my family members said, oh, you want to keep your team, if you will. And I'm like, yes. I have a whole bunch of teams, if you will, that have all know all my history. And I didn't want to go to a whole nother provider, if you will. So that's Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca Lovincy, Lovincey.
And perfect. That's it.
And she's in Vancouver. She's at Almia Insurance, which is a division of B&B. But let me get you her phone number real fast. So her phone number is 360-604-5212.
So I got Rebecca Lovincy, Vancouver, Omni Insurance, 360-604-5212.
Perfect. And in case you don't, and I will thank you for mentioning that I need to get the people on my team at the office the info. So when other people call in looking for that, then we don't have the situation. But it actually worked out.
I wonder if we could maybe do a telephone because I might not be able to get up there, but I'll give her a call.
Yeah. I'm sure she could do that.
And tell her what I'm up against. And then, the main thing that I wanted to verify, I had some ideas, and that just what you had said last week. There's a plug for last week's show. getting the doctors. There's a few. I don't know if they're going to be covered under a plan I'd looked at. So she'll be able to look at that. Okay, I'm going to let you go. You guys shut it.
Oh, here, actually, and let me give you another number just in case that one might be old and just so we don't have this situation happen again where you called and tried to get it. It's 360-694-7994. Almia's gone through, they just merged with another company, and so I want to make sure I give you the correct phone number.
Yeah, so I got those. Perfect. And I'll call you back if I don't.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, if you have any issues, call, and then we'll call her on the radio and surprise her.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we may talk to you soon anyway, because we've been going to Chuck for about a year, and we're on the west side, too. We live in Hillsboro.
Oh, sure.
So it's kind of a rough go to get over there now lately, we found.
Sure. Well, we do have, we have a west side office over there off of 217 and 72nd Avenue. So it's a lot easier than.
That is very close, considering. All right, you have a great show, guys. Thanks for your info.
Thank you, Paul. Really appreciate you calling. That was a great question. Now we also have Lee, who has another Medicare question or suggestion. Lee?
Yes, there is a nationwide organization. Federally, it's called SHIP, S-H-I-P.
Okay.
In Oregon and Washington, it is SHIBA, S-H-I-B-A.
Okay.
And they are a trained, certified group of volunteers that will help anybody and everybody with their Medicare questions.
Oh, that's excellent.
And I have a toll-free number for Oregon, if that would be helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, go slow, though, just like so that way people maybe repeat it twice so people can hear it.
I will. It's 1-800-722-4134. And I will repeat. It's 1-800-722-4134. Hold on till somebody answers that. Give them your zip code, and they will line you up with someone in your area.
Perfect. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Lee. I really appreciate that. That's not to overuse the term, but information for life, right? If you can, if you're making sure that they can steer them to a trusted professional in the area. You can also give our office a call. Like Paul said, I'll actually have the contact information, but 503-253-3000, and we're happy to hook you up with somebody around here too. But Lee, thank you so much. That's super helpful. That's way easy if folks can do that over the phone and not necessarily have to truck it down to see somebody.
That's very, very helpful. However, Medicare is so very complex, they may really want to go have a face-to-face meeting with someone.
And the big thing is, you know, like you said, it's real complicated. And if you're seeing it, having a face-to-face meeting with an agent helping you get enrolled with Medicare doesn't cost you anything more. That's a big thing that people worry that maybe they're going to get gouged. You're still getting the same plans or the same options from Medicare through an agent that you get through if you had to do it yourself, but it's a lot easier, maybe a lot more helpful to have somebody guiding you. Like Paul said, the biggest key is make sure you can still work with your team, your doctors that you've grown to know and trust over the years. Don't let somebody push you out of it. But Lee, thank you so much for that number. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
You have a great day. So we're going to take in another break here, and when we come back, we're going to keep talking about investing in real estate and how to get that going. We're going to have the debut of Michael Standard's own personal segment here on the radio, so make sure you don't miss that. But don't forget, give us a call, 503-417-9595. You've been listening to Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome in to Investing Simplified. If you're just tuning in, thank you for tuning in. If you've been listening to us the whole show, we really appreciate you sticking to it. And we do have it's very exciting news. We have the debut of Michael Standard's very own segment here on Investing Simplified. Our goal is to bring you information, to bring you experts in the field, to bring you everything you need to know about your investing life, your tax life, your estate planning life. And the best way to do that is to bring in people who are experts in their field. And luckily for me, I've had the opportunity to get to know Michael and his practice, and he's been willing and able to come on the show with us and share the best practices for folks investing in real estate and how to utilize different lending platforms, how to get that going if you don't have just a bucket of cash sitting on the sidelines, which most people don't. So, Michael, what are some of the most exciting things that you're seeing right now in your marketplace? So I know we were talking in the break a little bit about some of the changes happening here locally in Vancouver.
Yeah, I think for me, the lenders have come up with some creative ways to help people buy primary residences and, of course, investment properties. And used to, as Isaac started our segment with, used to be 25% down was what you needed to purchase a investment property. That's not true anymore. You've got some lenders out there with cash who are willing to work with you. So we're talking 10, 15% down, which is a great deal. Interest rates a little higher, and they're going to charge some points, but they're still out there. So people can leverage the cash they have to have it start working for them. And that's my theory in life. Put your cash to work for you so you don't have to work for it, right? And investment properties are great. In fact, I was working with Isaac on a couple of these concepts, and he found something that was intrigued me a lot. In Vancouver, Washington proper, they've got an infill rule, don't they?
Yeah. It's an infill ordinance in the city of Vancouver. It's a fantastic concept. What Vancouver's trying to do is they're trying to fill the lots with housing that is needed to help with the affordability factor. So one of the biggest ones are investors and, you know, as Michael pointed out on the break, retirement community are looking at is buying and building duplexes. And so the infill ordinance allows you to actually build a duplex on a lot as small as 5,000 square feet in Vancouver, which before was unheard of.
That doesn't seem like you have to find too big of a lot. Then it seems like that's not a big opportunity for people. And to me, that when I hear duplex, I think one of two things. One is now I have two sets of rent coming in, right? Or two, that's a place where especially whether, you know, at bookending, if I'm single and, you know, and young and looking to get an investment property, even looking to have my first primary residence, if I could buy a duplex and live on one side and rent out the other side, yeah. That seems like a much more affordable way to get into that place.
It is. And as a senior, somebody over 62, the new home equity conversion mortgage, the old reverse mortgage, allows you to purchase a plex up to a fourplex. You have to live in it as your primary residence 6 months out of the year. You can collect all the rents. You have no mortgage payment for life. So talk about cash flow opportunities. Seniors really need to consider that, especially if maybe they are holding an existing property, another rental property, they want to 1031 exchange it, right. Or they've cashed it out. They don't know what to do with the money. Talk to Isaac. Look at some of those lots that are far cheaper that aren't zoned for, they're zoned residential, but Vancouver's allowing them to put duplexes on them. So yeah. Move your cash flow over there, move across back across the river with the rest of us and avoid some of that income tax. But just think about it as a cash flow process. If I was collecting $1,400 in rent and not making a payment, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
We also talked earlier about diversification and how we want to separate our assets. So I love the multifamily concept because what happens is you're diversifying your vacancy rate, right? So if you have one side of your duplex not rented and the other side rented, you're sitting at a 50% versus having one house not rented. Now you're at 100% vacancy. So it diversifies that risk, which for aging or really tight numbers, that is highly beneficial.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, that speaks to me about if you have, like you said, you have one vacancy or it's spreading. It's the same as diversifying your asset, not having all of your eggs in one basket, yep. But able to keep that on one property, which we talked about. I'm not handy at all. And so if I was a landlord in that situation, if I didn't have to worry about multiple properties that I maybe had to come fix the toilet or come fix the furnace on or anything like that, if I just had one, that makes a big difference. And you know, talk to me more, Michael, about the concept of, looks like we actually have a call on here. So James has a question about duplexes. So perfect. Go ahead, James.
Yes, sir. I missed the first part of your show. Now, do you guys repeat again tomorrow?
We do. Yeah, repeat. The show does replay again tomorrow. Yep. And you can also get the replays of all the shows on Apple Podcasts. Google Play, or any place you get your podcast, we post them there Monday morning.
I see. Okay, yeah, the wife can probably figure that out. Isn't the one tomorrow on a different station, though, or something at like 1 o'clock?
It is, yeah, on Sunday at on one FM 101 here in Portland. Oh. And you could also go investingsimplifiedradio.com, and you can bring up the old episodes as well. But you had a duplex question?
Yes, I do. I've been acquiring land since the 70s, and of course, a lot of it that I bought for hundreds of dollars is now worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But anyway, it looks like if I just sell it, the government's going to eat me alive on, you know, long-term capital gain.
Sure.
And the wife and I are looking to put, it's a duplex, and it's about 1,700 square feet per unit, three bedroom, two and a half bath.
Nice.
And they both have double garages, and we're going to put them on city lots. And I'm in the process of getting them surveyed right now, so that because for one thing, this building is going to exactly fit the setbacks on each side, 5 feet. Period. It has to sit exactly in the right spot. But anyway, the main reason I'm calling is we're putting together everything. It looks like our permit fees are cut out. We even have to pay for a porta potty to be there for about 6 months, and it's going to be around $50,000 going in, you know, of our own money. And then we're going to have to probably borrow about another $300 or something like that. And I would want to talk to your banker guy about exactly how that works. Now, in the past, When I've gone into projects like this where we have a course of construction loan, basically what they do is they establish the amount that we're going to be allowed to borrow, and then they kind of pay it out individually to the, you know, to the prime contractor as the project proceeds. And so are we going to be responsible for is it just going to be a certain fixed monthly fee, or does it just go increase as it goes? You know what I'm saying?
To the contractor?
Our payment to the bank.
It's usually interest only.
Yeah.
And it will be fixed at the rate. If you're doing a big development and you're getting outside money, not regular bank, sometimes they will they'll do it differently for you. You may want to look at both options. You can give me a call later, and I can walk you through and show you some of the options that are available to you.
Okay, and what was your number?
360.
360.
690.
690.
5278.
5278. And what was your first name?
Michael.
Michael. Okay, yeah. My wife, I'm 73 years old. I've been slugging nails since 65, or 63, actually. And I'm not going to be doing most of the work on this particular project. I used to do it all, cut out foundation, framing, everything. You know, the stuff that showed I would hire done, because otherwise I could come back 20 years later and point out all my mistakes to you. But my wife is a real spark plug, and she's on the team, and she spent half the day yesterday making phone calls and everything from the cutout itself to porta potties, getting a new excavator. All my guys that I've used over the years, you know, are basically either retired or gone, you know, and that creates a real problem for me. But I learned years ago that the stock market just wasn't my thing. It was somebody else gambling with my money. And with this Enron deal, I lost about probably $200,000 on Enron.
Yikes.
And anyway, so I'm, you know, and I've never really, I've had a few real estate purchases where I've had to, you know, end up selling a little early, and I didn't make as much as I thought I was going to, but I've never really lost on real estate. So... Nice. But I'll give you a call, because we're looking at this first one. We're going to be borrowing about, like I say, $300 to $350, maybe even $400 on it. And they're figuring it's going to take about 6 months to build this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like I said, it's really deluxe units, you know, three bedroom, two and a half bath, about $1,800, and each of them has a two car garage. So.
Nice. That's not that's better than a sharp stick in the eye. That sounds good.
Well, and yeah, you know, I mean, looking in Portland right now, my goodness, you know, it's kind of ridiculous, because a studio apartment in Portland now is about $1,200. Well, my first house payment in 65 was like under $100.
Right.
And I mean, that just goes to show you, you know, how markets can go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you very much, Michael. And I will give you a call, and I'll continue listening. I tuned in a little late, and I missed the whole first half of the show. So I was going to turn in tomorrow on some other station. And what time does that come on?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Thank you very much. Have a great day, guys.
You betcha, James. Thanks for the call. Bye. And that, you know, that James is a really good example of how utilizing real estate, especially if you're uncomfortable with the stock market or you don't like, you know, you don't like the exposure, that real estate can really be a good long-term investment for you. So we're going to take our last break here, and we will come back, continue the conversation. It's been great so far, but continue giving us your calls with your questions. 503-417-9595. If like James, if like Paul, if you have questions about real estate, great. If you have questions about investments, taxes, estate planning, I'm here to answer all of those for you. Thank you for listening to Investing Simplified, and we'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
It's Michael Standard, Regional Reverse Mortgage Specialist and Senior Mortgage Banker with Fairway's First Team Independent Mortgage Corporation. For more information on home equity conversion mortgages and traditional mortgages, please call me at 360-690-5278. Again, 360-690-5278 for a free consultation, or email me at michael.standard@fairwaymc.com. NMLS number 1674259.
Copyright 2019, Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, Fairway. NMLS number 2289, 4750 South Biltmore Lane, Madison, Wisconsin 53718. 1-866-912-4800. All rights reserved. Fairway is not affiliated with any government agencies. These materials are not from HUD or FHA and were not approved by HUD or a government agency. Reverse mortgage borrowers are required to obtain an eligibility certificate by receiving counseling sessions with a HUD approved agency. The youngest borrower must be at least 62 years old. Monthly reverse mortgage advances may affect eligibility for some other programs. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Other restrictions and limitations apply. Michael Standards, Oregon and Washington, NMLS number 1674259.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
You are listening to Investing Simplified again. However you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your day. We're going to continue the conversation here we've been having about investing in real estate, how to get that started, how to keep it going, possibly how to get out of it. And once you're no longer interested in being that landlord or having that particular investment, what are the best ways to get out of it? But if you have a question, give us a call, 503-417-9595. Isaac and Michael and I are here to take your calls. We're here to talk about, you know, real estate right now. But if you don't want to listen to us yammer on, pick up the phone, give us a call, ask the question that's been burning at you. And so, guys, we were talking in the break about conceptually, if someone like James, who just called in, has had properties for a long time, and he mentioned the big word there, the capital gain, right? The long-term capital gain that can really dig into the profits from your real estate purchase, especially if you've held it for a long time. And then now you're looking at, you know, selling it for a nice profit, which is great, right? Hey, we made money. That's what we bought the property for. Like Isaac talked about, it's been cash flowing real great for a long time, and now we got some appreciation, which is, you know, just a little prize on top, a cherry on top of the, yeah, you know, of the great, you know, the great income we have. But what if now, let's say I'm, you know, 65, maybe 73, like James, he's been pounding nails since 63. But so let's say you're no longer interested in having that rental property. What are some options for folks that they can utilize to get maybe to divest themselves of that property without, you know, incurring a huge tax loss necessarily right now?
One of the biggest topics of conversation with that is the 1031 exchange or tax deferment. Essentially what it is you're going to, if you no longer want this property and you do want to hold your money in investment, you can defer it over to a different property that maybe has more cash flow to subsidize retirement or to help out with whatever you're doing. The biggest unspoken secret in the real estate market right now, because it's so new, is what we're calling opportunity zones. And so you said 65, 73. I can't preface this enough for people who are 50, 55, because what it is, to give you a short little spiel, is if you purchase a property within an opportunity zone and hold that property for 10 years, you are actually exempt from capital gains with that investment, okay, by holding it within that zone. So at this point, if you're 50, 55 on a property and want to get out of capital gains by the time you're aiming to retire at 65, you could do a tax deferment into an opportunity zone, hold for 10, and then sell. Or you can just do the tax deferment now into a property with maybe a little bit more cash flow or a little less upkeep to just make it simpler. Besides that, you know, if you're just trying to liquidate the asset, the government's going to be coming for you for that capital gains.
They really do, right? Yeah. We talk about that with clients a lot, is if you're making money, you're going to pay taxes. Now, we don't want to pay more than our fair share.
Right.
And give Kevin, who's on the show, a call that he to help with deferring those taxes or figuring out smart ways to pay the taxes or incur the tax penalty. But he mentioned a few months ago the opportunity zone, and from a CPA perspective, he's very excited about that opportunity. So some of the caveats with the 1031, because these are things that people don't know, is you do have to before you sell the property, you have to have a qualified intermediary that works with you. And what that means is a disinterested third party who's helping you do that. And a lot of times that's a CPA firm or a law firm that specializes in that. But they help you to make sure that the property is a 1031 exchange, and you have a finite amount of time to identify the property that you're going to exchange into. So if you're doing that, make sure you're working with an agent like Isaac who knows the 1031 market, knows the ins and outs, so you're not going to get in trouble with the government on that aspect. And make sure you're working with your team, your lender, your real estate agent, your CPA, your financial advisor. Make sure everybody is working together in concert and on the same page, so that way you don't have a surprise at the end of it. The other option that you guys may have heard me talk about on the show previously, but is what's called the deferred sales trust. So you can also utilize that if you're looking to get out of the property. If you have $500,000, over $1 million worth of capital gain that you want to not realize right now, then you can utilize a concept called the deferred sales trust. It's an installment sale to yourself, basically, and that's how you get past the capital gains this year, doesn't mean you're not going to have to pay them. Just like we talked about, if you are going to incur a gain and divest yourself of property, you will have capital gains, but it might be nice to pay only 10% of your overall capital gain a year for the next 10 years rather than pay it all at once. Right. When you talk about the opportunity zone, that's huge, because getting out of those capital gains in general, you could still cash flow in that opportunity zone, right? So we're taking this property that's cash flowing with the goal of 10 years from now, we're looking to get rid of it. And what he mentioned was there's no capital gain in the opportunity zone, so you can defer all that and then may possibly not have to pay nearly as much, especially if that property in that opportunity zone appreciates significantly over the next 10 years.
Yes. Yeah. And something else I want to add. The lenders out there are being very generous. If you have a rental property and you want to refi funds out, you can take up to 70% of cash out, your equity out, to purchase another property to go into and diversify,
right?
Yep. Which is a great deal right now, because there is a lot of equity in a lot of people's rental properties.
Right, and if you're thinking about adding extra cash flow, so that's the situation where maybe like James was talking about, is we're adding – even in our, you know, as we get into the golden years, he's adding cash flow, not looking to divest. So, hey, why not utilize the rental property that you've had for 10 or 15 years and you've built up a lot of equity in it? Let's utilize that to leverage into a new.
Yeah. And as a reverse mortgage specialist, that's one of the things I talk about with the seniors, is it's all about cash flow now. It's all about cash flow. It's not about location, location, location. It's about cash flow and what's best for you in your financial plan. And a reverse mortgage, the refi portion of it, is part of financial planning. And CFPs like yourself refer business all the time. People who need to use the equity in their home as part of their cash flow for retirement.
Right. And we've talked about it ad nauseum. And that's that. I don't want you to think that we're saying everyone who's retired and needs to do it. We're not saying that at all. No. What Michael's big goal, and one of the big reasons that we're so happy to have him on here, is that people don't know that this opportunity is out there, and it may fit your situation. It may not. You heard on his little note there that, you know, you have to get qualified. You've mentioned this on the show before when talking about reverse mortgage. It's not for everybody, and we should probably stop calling it reverse mortgage. I feel like we should call it the home equity conversion mortgage, right? Because reverse mortgage has the negative connotation, because it used to be unregulated, but now that they've taken a closer look at it and working with quality professionals like Michael, he's not going to push you into something that's not good for you. Right. It's in concert with your financial planner, in concert with your CPA, working with your team, this may be an option for you. So why don't you plug your phone number again, Michael, just so people have it.
It's 360-690-5278.
Perfect. And if you have questions about that, give him a call. Michael will walk you through, and he's one of those people that will tell you, hey, this isn't the right spot for you, but let's figure out how we can work together, or what value can he add. He's not a snake oil salesman, right?
Right. I
mean, not a used car salesman.
And secondly, people have to qualify for this, and it has to fit their need. And it's not right for everybody. There's other ways to get there, and, you know, from bridge loans to home equity lines of credit. There's other options for seniors out there, but sometimes this is the best one because it doesn't require you to repay it.
Right.
Which benefits.
And it can definitely make sense. And we talked about the 1031 exchange, the big benefit from doing that as well, and people may or may not realize this, but when you pass away, your basis in your house steps up, at least for now. I mean, let's not talk about the future, because I know there's noise in Washington about getting rid of the step up in basis at death, or it's a whole bunch of stuff, so who knows what's actually going to happen with that. But for right now, when you pass away, your home is now passed to your heirs with a basis of the fair market value on the date of your death. So in this situation where you have this highly appreciated property, if you're 1031-ing into an opportunity zone, if you're 1031-ing into a new property that maybe cash flows better, then you do get that step up in basis at death. If you're utilizing something like the deferred sales trust, you don't. Mm-hmm. So that's you're going to be paying your capital gains over the next, you know, amount of time, because you're divesting the property, so you're not getting a step up in basis of those particular assets. But the biggest thing is, if you're buying this for an investment and it is cash flowing, you are making money. At some point, you're going to probably have to pay some taxes on it.
Yeah, typically, and that's where I can't stress the importance enough of strategizing, both on the trying to get out of capital gains, the opportunity zones, and the reverse mortgage. Just because maybe the reverse mortgage isn't something you're looking to do right now, that doesn't mean Michael can't get you in a good position by next year to make that happen. So strategizing is important.
Perfect. And if people want to strategize, Isaac, before we get out of here, how do they get a hold of
you? So my cell phone is 360-787-6534. You can call or text me any day of the week.
Perfect. And Michael, once again, how do people get a hold of you?
360-690-5278.
Perfect. And I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP. You can get a hold of Chuck or I at 503-253-3000. If you miss those phone numbers, give our office a call. Drop me an email. I'm happy to connect you with Isaac and Michael. We'll get their information up there. Thanks for listening today. Be safe out there. God bless.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.